Let's open our Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. It's been a wonderful Mother's Day. We appreciate everyone that was here today. And my, what a blessing it was to have Brother Reinhardt with us. And I tell you, he spoke to our heart. Young man, 24 years old. He's already got his seminary education behind him now. He's ready to go to the field and do the work that God has called him to do. And if Jesus tarries his coming, I'm sure that he'll make the Lord a good hand. Let's continue to pray for him. And I ask him, he's coming back down to Bible Baptist over in National City in about 3 weeks, I think, something like that. And I ask him if he would stop by when he comes and see us, just maybe for a minute, just so we can get acquainted with his wife and that little girl that was born today. And he said he'd try to do that. So we've got something to look forward to there. This being Mother's Day, our hearts go out to Mary Lou Patterson, because her mother is just hanging on by a thread. If she makes it until Tuesday, she will have her 99th birthday. And she's at the stage right now that Ruth was not long ago, just waiting to go home to see Jesus. And it's heartbreaking for those of us who are left behind at a time like this. Connie, I'm sure, can still remember the homegoing of her mother like that. And I can still remember that too. It's a very, very trying time, but it's a time when God really manifests himself to us and shows us that he is the God of all comfort, and he gives us strength in the time of need. Here in Genesis chapter 3, I want to bring you a scripture that message tonight that will, I hope, thrill your heart as it did mine. In verse 17 of Genesis 3, "And unto Adam he," that is, he is God here, "he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the fruit," or eaten of the tree, "of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." There's a lot in the Bible, I didn't know there was so much until I began to check it out, about placing a curse on things. 194 times in the Bible. Well, what is a curse? I went to Mr. Webster for a definition of a curse. And he said that a curse means to afflict with evil that comes as retribution. Retribution is getting paid back. You do something bad and you suffer for it. There are results for your actions. It's, believe it or not, a curse is associated with voodooism. That's that stuff that they practice down in Haiti and some parts of Louisiana where the Cajuns live. I think you can still find a little voodoo down there. That reminds me, years ago, there was a clerk that worked at San Diego Court by the name of Bob Miller, and Bob Miller decided one election year that he would run against our boss, who was Bud James at that time. He was county clerk down there for a generation or so, and Bob thought he could beat him, and he didn't. But anyway, there's a little bit of enmity there between them, and he sent Bud a box, and when Bud opened it up, there was a voodoo doll in there that had a pin sticking in it. News like that spread. I think it even made the paper. I'm forgetting now the name of the guy that worked for the San Diego paper. His beat was the courthouse there. We all knew it. Voodoo, a curse. You don't read very far in the Bible until you run across this curse. The first time is there in verse 14 of this third chapter of Genesis. And that first time that a curse is mentioned, the first curse is placed upon the serpent. God said, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That's the first time. Now, it's the second curse that I want us to consider tonight and set forth in the words of our text up here. Cursed is the ground. Now, I've got 3 points tonight that I want to make about this. And the first one is this. God cursed the ground because of Adam and Eve. If they hadn't messed up, the ground would never have been cursed. But the ground was cursed because of them. Now God had just created all things by the word of his power. He had spoken them into existence. He didn't make them out of anything. There was nothing to make them out of. He spoke and they became. And when he had finished, Genesis 1:31 tells us that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Not just good, it was very good. Now, when he made man, God gave man dominion over everything that he had created. Verses 26 and 27 of the first chapter there. Look at it. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now, dominion means authority. It does not mean ownership, it means authority. Dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man. In his own image, in the image of God, created he him. Male and female created he them. And then in verse 7 of chapter 2, he tells us how that he did it. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now God, after he created man, he gave him one prohibition that we find in verses 16 and 17 of the second chapter. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." I'm teaching you some basic truths tonight. These are scriptures that we are all familiar with, but we need to become acquainted with them often. Now, as God looked around at all that he'd made, he saw something that was not good. Verse 18 of chapter 2. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And then in verses 21 and 22 of this chapter, tells us how he did that. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So the stage is set. And then Genesis 3 verse 1 starts. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto her, unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Well, that evening God came down to pay them a visit in the Garden of Eden. And as he's walking there in the garden in the cool of the day, he didn't see them anywhere. They had run and hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. But God found them. And God said, "Where art thou?" And Adam replied, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And Adam replied, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree of the tree, and I did eat." Now this then is the reason that God cursed the ground. And I want to emphasize here that it was the ground that was cursed and not Adam and Eve. He did not curse Adam and Eve. And the ground was cursed because of their sin. Not the ground. But they had disobeyed a direct commandment of God. And remember that the word cursed means declared evil. So God did not declare Adam and Eve evil. Instead, the ground was cursed, as he said, "For thy sake," because of them. So let's keep the facts straight. The serpent was cursed. The ground was cursed. But the ground was cursed for Adam and Eve's sake. Now let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about how in the fullness of time, God sent the angel Gabriel down to the little city of Nazareth. And he appeared to a virgin by the name of Mary and told Mary that she would bear a son, and that son that she would bear would be God incarnate. God would be made flesh and would be born into this world as you and I were born. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he was laid in a manger in the days of Herod the king. Now it was because of man's sin that God now has sent his only begotten son into the world. Because of. Now, point number two. God cursed the ground instead of Adam and Eve. Can you not see just a little bit of substitution here? Instead of placing a curse on Adam and Eve, God placed the curse on the ground. Now the ground hadn't done anything wrong. The ground had not disobeyed God. The ground had not eaten of that forbidden fruit. The ground was good. God said it was very good. And it was completely innocent. It had nothing to do with Adam and Eve's disobedience to God. So the innocent ground is bearing the curse for guilty mankind. That's substitution. So now let me tell you some more about Jesus. Let me tell you about what we call the vicarious and the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I see in this act of God cursing the ground for the sake of Adam and Eve a picture of one of the principal parts of God's plan of salvation, and that is an innocent would suffer in the place of the guilty. Instead of. So go with me to Calvary. And let's see Jesus as he is nailed to that cross. Crucified. On that old rugged cross. What's he doing? He is dying for our sins. He is taking our place. We are the ones who should have been there, but he is substituting himself instead of you and me. He's shedding his blood, as the Bible says, for the remission of our sins. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2, talking about God, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Substitution. Isaiah had written about it in the 53rd chapter. And he tells us there in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ died instead of us. He's bearing the curse. Paul writes in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 13. Listen to this. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. You see, he was made a curse for us. He bore the curse for us. In Genesis 3, the ground bore the curse for Adam and Eve. A third point is this. God cursed the ground for the benefit of Adam and Eve. Who was it that benefited from this? Certainly wasn't the serpent. He still bears the curse until this present day. He's still crawling around on his belly and eating dust all of his life. The ground certainly did not profit from this. It will bear thorns and thistles until the heaven and earth are passed away, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The earth didn't benefit from it. But I want you to see Adam and Eve as they are clothed in coats of skin by the Lord. Blood has been shed. Who did it? God did it. Why did God do it? For the benefit of man, so that man could have a covering. And the blood that was shed provided the covering by the skins of the animal. Death entered into the world. But who died? The who is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So they're removed from the Garden of Eden so that they cannot eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. To protect them, God placed cherubims there on the east side of the garden. And there was a flaming sword that turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. All for the benefit of man. You know, one day, according to Revelation 22, that restriction will be removed from the tree of life. Because in Revelation 22, you read about the throne of God and of the Lamb. And proceeding out from the throne of God, there are waters. Cool, clear waters that become a river of water of life. A river, mind you, deep and wide. And growing on either side, on the banks of that river of water of life, are trees that are called the tree of life. It bears 12 manner of fruits and yields her fruit every month. Now let me tell you some more about Jesus. Jesus did not die for his sins. He had none. He was holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners. But he died for our sins so that you and I can be saved. We're the ones that benefit from it. We're the ones that profit from his death. You and I can have our sins pardoned and forgiven as a benefit of Christ bearing the curse on the cross for us. All of our transgressions and all of our iniquities are covered by the blood. They're blotted out. They're to be remembered against us no more. All because of Jesus. Now we can become the children of God by the new birth through faith in Jesus Christ as a benefit of his death. Because when he died, he paid our sin debt. That debt that we cannot pay. And we can spend eternity in heaven and enjoy the peace, the tranquility, and the rest that only God can provide. All because of Jesus. Songwriter said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. It's comforting to be under the blood and to have our names written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's comforting to be clothed in that royal robe of His imputed righteousness that allows us to stand faultless in the presence of Almighty God. And it's all because of Jesus. We get the benefits from His death. And God told us that in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Isn't that wonderful? Appreciate your being here tonight. I hope the Lord blesses you, that you'll be back Wednesday night. We'll have a good time of Bible study. Let's stand together, be dismissed in prayer. And as we pray tonight, let's remember to pray for Dorothy and for her family, okay? We've got a lot of people to pray for. Thank Him for a wonderful day that we've had in the house of God today. Brother Bryant, will you lead us in our prayer, please?
Blessed Lord, we thank Thee for that which You wrought on Calvary's cross, having taken us from darkness into the light, taken us from sin into salvation, taken us from tears one day into glory. We praise You, we thank You for that. Lord, may we remember those that are sick and afflicted, as Pastor said tonight. Touch them, should Thou be will, to be Thy will, Lord. Lift them up. Encourage the families to care for them. There are unspoken requests tonight, Lord. We know that. We would pray that You honor those also. Forgive us, Lord, where we come short of what we want to be and could be, where we fail before You. Help us to be, Lord, forgiving one of another. For all of us have missed the mark and come short. But in Christ we are set free.
Amen.
We are made and fashioned after His glorious person. And so, Father, we thank You for this tonight. Guide us by Thy Spirit. Protect us over this week, Lord. Return us again. This is midweek service. Again, remember, those that are sick and afflicted, touch them, Lord. Heal them. Raise them up. Those that mourn, Lord, we would pray for them also, the lost loved ones. Encourage their hearts. Strengthen them. Show us Thy direction now for this church and this pastor and this congregation as we walk in the Lord. And Lord, we would pray for souls to be saved. Give us a witness as we learn today from the missionary. How far we fall short of our testimony for Christ. Help us, our Lord, to be faithful now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pray for good results for Paul Delisle.